Let's picture the scene this morning as if we were one of Jesus' disciples. You followed this man, Jesus of Nazareth, for 3 years. 3 full years of living in very tight-knit community with him. And you've encountered his tender heart and compassion towards people. You've witnessed truly miraculous things. People being healed, demons bowing down and fleeing from his presence, and even people being raised from the dead. You have encountered the fierceness of Jesus as he commands rooms filled with high-ranking officials, church leaders, and even the Pharisees. You have seen him plan and direct and teach and guide, and he has always been ready with a wise word or a strong action. This man Jesus has always known exactly what to do or say. But now things are different. And as a disciple, you are sitting here on the Mount of Olives watching this man fall apart in front of your eyes. He's warning you and the other disciples that you are going to collapse around him and soon, that you will abandon him. And you think to yourself, this can't be true. Then Jesus does what he always does, and he quotes scriptures. And sometimes, though you're not sure what he's saying, you recall this verse in Zechariah because you're a good Jewish person too. But the words of Zechariah really deeply impact your heart. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Scatter. Desert. Abandon. Well, we all know how the story goes. Jesus gets arrested very soon after, put on trial, beaten, and is finally crucified outside of the city gates. And one by one, the disciples that love Jesus leave him. They inevitably scatter. They hide in fear. And it's hard to think when you're reading Mark 14, that after all they've seen, after all they had encountered from Jesus, that they would leave him. But if I'm being honest, as you should in a church, I would have been right there with the disciples. At first, I would have been confused and scared, then terrified, then completely lost with emotions, flooding the scene. But I think if I'm being really honest, abandoning and departing from the presence of Jesus isn't necessarily something that I could just imagine. But very often, this is something that I do. I'm always abandoning and departing the presence of Jesus. We all do this. Now, true, it doesn't look like it did in the scripture this morning where there is a physical departure from Jesus, but most often, abandoning the presence of God looks two ways. The first is the way that it looked with Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples. And we see multiple times in the Gospels during this season that Peter says, Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Peter says, Jesus, I will follow you even to death. And sure enough, this doesn't happen. Peter lets fear manifest inside of him, and he denies Jesus multiple times, and then he departs from him, weeping bitterly. You see, when fear overcame this man, just like when fear overcomes us, it's so hard for us to see and hear clearly from the Lord. Now, maybe you're not necessarily afraid, but instead, you have a hard time encountering Jesus because you're mad and you're disappointed with him. You have all these unmet expectations or maybe unanswered prayers, and there is a distance that is being created between the two of you. Judas, one of Jesus' most infamous disciples, most likely felt this way. Most biblical scholars believe that Judas's prayer and picture of the Messiah was going to be an earthly king who would kick in doors and take names and overthrow Rome, allowing the Jewish people to come to power. But Jesus was nothing like he expected. Jesus was nothing like many people expected. He was peaceful, ushering in a heavenly kingdom that was not of this world, that flipped everything all over on its side. And this disappointment and anger is most likely what led Judas to betray Jesus. Because the more Judas obsessed about what Jesus wasn't doing, the more Judas completely neglected what Jesus was doing. And you know what? I've been there. I have been mad at God or disappointed because my expectations have not been met. I have been walking around going, no, no, it's not thy kingdom come and not thy will be done. It is my kingdom come and Angie's will be done. And during those seasons, I've kept my head down, done my work, but I've just disengaged. I've disengaged with everyone around me and especially disengaged with Jesus. And those days were never memorable. They were never joyful. And the more I detached, the more I missed out on holy gifts, sacred moments that the Creator of the world wanted to share just with me. My attitude and my posture was not looking and searching for God in the world. And because of that, there were so many things that I simply didn't even get to experience with him. The truth is, we are all either moving towards God and seeking an encounter with the divine, or we are moving away from God, distancing ourselves from Jesus. Now, you know me by now, and you know how crazy I can get. Just this morning, I was running around like a crazy person with my head cut off, and I was trying to get the projector and the screen working in the chapel. And Carrie, bless her heart, was helping me so much. And I was just so stressed because I wanted to play this slideshow that, Lord willing, we will all see later. Jesus, take the wheel. But the thing is, it reminded me immediately, oh my gosh, this is my sermon. Because I get so caught up in the logistics or the details or the task-oriented things that I miss the big picture. And the big picture was there were so many loved ones in the chapel that just wanted to worship God. We just wanted to be a family of God, worshiping the Lord and diving into the scriptures. It was as simple as that. But I forget about that. This week I was running into 24-hour fitness trying to make my Zumba class, and I almost missed this beautiful sunset. And the lady in front of me, I almost ran into her, let's be honest. She was staring up at the sky saying, oh, is there anything more beautiful than a Colorado sunset? And I thought about it, how many other things have I missed today? How many other things have I missed that were little gifts from God, that were beautiful encounters with him? Because I was running around trying to get everything done. Sometimes I picture Jesus as my friend who is across a crowded room trying to get my attention, saying, Angie, it's me. Hey, look at what I have for you. Look at what I'm doing over here. Do you ever feel like that? But just like Jesus' disciples, I am only human. We are only human. And because we're human, Jesus knows this, we are flawed. And we have a propensity to forget and to fear and to flee. So what do we do? How do we cultivate a posture of seeking God? We want this. I know we want this. Because the beautiful thing about Jesus is no matter how far we run or how much we stray, he's always there, waiting for us to turn back. Well, One of my spiritual direction meetings, my director, Nancy, asked me to pray and ask God to reveal a sign from him, something that would center me back to Jesus and remind me that he loves me, that he likes me, that it's going to be okay, that I am a beloved child of God. And the thing that came to mind was not a bird or a word or a specific symbol, but it was bells. Bells is my symbol and sign from God in this season. And whenever I see a bell, or I hear a bell, or I'm walking in downtown Denver and I hear the cathedral's bells, or I play bells, like we did last week in the bell choir, I am immediately in the presence of Jesus. It's what I call being grounded back to God. We are constantly being given an opportunity to encounter Jesus. It's just our choice whether we want to step into those things or not. When I hike, as some of you know, I can realize we're in high altitude, think about one of the youth that's on the hike getting eaten by a bear, freak out, get sunburned, and I just disengage with the beauty that's around me. So I've developed two holy signs from God that I ask God to reveal to me when we're on a hike. And if any of you have been on an AVUMC hike with me, most of the time in the summer, we'll encounter one of these two things. Either somebody with a Bernese Mountain Dog or a Columbine flower. I will spot one of these, and whether it's the beauty and the different hues of blue in the Columbine, or it's the giant embrace of the Bernese Mountain Dog, those are two things that remind me that Jesus doesn't just care about the big things in my life. He does. He cares about the little things in my life, too. And it changes everything. It doesn't change our hikes, it does. It doesn't just change our work weeks. But it quenches our fear and gives us hope. And it ceases our bad attitudes and gives us a posture of joy. Now, Michelle and I asked you to submit photos this past week of where you encountered Jesus. And it was such a blessing to get to look at all of these amazing photos. The glory of God is truly all around us. So I took all of the photos and compiled a little slideshow for you. I hope you enjoy it.
Amen. That was beautiful, Angie. And